Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. You can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Spanish National Radio, Sputnik Radio, Radio Havana Cuba, and NHK Japan. We will begin with Spanish National Radio. Allison Hughes reports on the relationship between the 2010 financial crisis and the current pandemic-induced economic crisis. Yanis Varoufakis, the former Greek finance minister, describes how Greece never recovered from the original crises and the fallout from a stalled economy compounds the problem. He also explains that what the European Union needs now is a Green New Deal using existing savings, not loans, but since the banks are flourishing without green energy, it's unlikely. Spanish National Radio.
This past April, Greece's former finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, was asked by Euronews Television about the relationship between the 2010 financial crisis and the current pandemic-induced economic crisis.
Greece never recovered from the financial crisis. We are still one quarter of GDP below where we were 10 years ago. We had a major success, as your report said, in keeping the death toll low. But I very much fear that Greece will have the largest number of people who go hungry as a result of the economic dimension of this pandemic. The government is pretending that it can be business as usual once the lockdown ends, but it can't be used a business as usual. They cannot continue to sell non-performing loans to funds and to do repossessions, especially when for so many weeks and months we are asking people to stay in their homes. Imagine if once they're out of their homes, we take their homes away on behalf of vulture funds that have purchased them. But I have to say, just very, very briefly, it all depends on Europe. Today we have an EU Council. I very much fear that it will be another demonstrable failure by our leaders to do what is right, not for Greece, but for Europe as a whole. Again, they are kicking the can down the road. They are dealing, just like in 2010, there is a connection with the error, category error of 2010 with Greece. They dealt with that crisis as if it was a crisis of liquidity, when it was a crisis of bankruptcy. And they're doing the same thing at the European level now. Every billion or trillion they are referring to is loans. The last thing businesses in Germany, in Italy, in France, in Greece need now is loans. You need loans when you have a liquidity problem.
What wouldn't be a terrible solution? What wouldn't be kicking down the can down the road?
Let me give you just 2 examples because we don't have much time. Firstly, the European Investment Bank could be given the green light to fund a major investment program of 600 billion, 5% of GDP, supported by the European Central Bank. The European Central Bank could be issuing its own Eurobond on behalf of the whole of the euro area, not pushing more debt onto the shoulders of the Italian state, the Spanish state, the Greek state that cannot shoulder it.
More than a month before the EU summit concluded, Yanis Varoufakis published an essay entitled The COVID Class War. He summarizes his argument as follows. The European Union's proposed recovery fund to counter the pandemic's economic fallout seems destined to leave the majority in every member state worse off. Finance, again, will be protected, if badly, while workers are left to foot the bill through new rounds of austerity. In a July 2nd interview with iNet, Varoufakis, currently a member of the Greek Parliament, explained that what the EU needs now is a Green New Deal.
Since 2008, we had this disconnect huge savings, very little investment. All you need to do, you need to take the savings and invest it. That's all we need to do, which was, of course, the original idea of FDR, Franklin Roosevelt. That was the original idea of the New Deal. You use public finance instruments in order to shift idle liquidity, idle cash, into investments. So that's what we need to do. We can do it. It's not difficult at all. Imagine a situation where, in the same way that the central banks got together to save finance, imagine that we had the treasuries getting together with the World Bank to create public financial instruments, green bonds, that are issued collectively. Yeah? And the central banks agree to make one statement that we will buy them in the secondary markets if needs be to keep the interest rates low. Suddenly you have a huge amount of money that you can spend on green energy. So the technicalities are straightforward of how to create, to use existing, we're not talking about creating money, we're talking about using existing money, existing savings, and putting it into good use. So yes, we can do it, but who's going to do it? Right. Roosevelt is dead. And and we didn't do very well in the European Parliament elections last year when we had this this program. One of the reasons why we didn't do well was because we did not have the money to compete with campaign financing with the juggernauts who were supported by the banking sector, who really don't want any of this. Because they're doing really very well without green energy. This financialization, constantly rolling over debts and constantly being refloated by central banks is fantastic for them. Yeah. It's not good for the planet.
Those reports by Allison Hughes were from Radio Exterior de España or Spanish National Radio. Spain may be heard at their website rtve.es and by podcast as REE. Next, Sputnik Radio. Afshin Ratansi spoke with Greg Pallast about his new book, How Trump Stole 2020. Pallast explains how tricks related to direct mailing and the removal of tens of millions of Americans from voter rolls is changing the outcomes of elections, how Republicans are engaged in voter suppression against African American voters, and how that changed the 2016 election, and why the mass mail-in ballot voting method could mean Trump winning in 2020. Russia's Sputnik Radio.
The 2020 U.S. presidential election is fewer than 4 months away at the end of a year that's been eclipsed by a pandemic that has taken more lives in the United States than any other country in the world. A country that has also found itself at the center of weeks of Black Lives Matter protests, arguably the largest movement in U.S. history. But if you think this will change anything at the ballot box, voter disenfranchisement doyen and New York Times best-selling author Greg Pallast says you should think again, as the next president has already been chosen without a single vote being cast. He joins me now via Skype from LA to talk about his new book, How Trump Stole 2020. You came out with a figure, 17 million Americans moved in the run-up to the 2016 election in the USA. People still moving. You doubt that, though.
A new gimmick used by the Republican voting officials. And understand, in America, we have something different, very different than most of the rest of the world. We have partisan politicians who actually are in charge of whether you get to vote. They removed, and I kid you not,
as happens in China and Russia.
Well, in China and Russia, but it's not supposed to happen in a self-described democracy. We've removed 16.7 million voters. That, by the way, that figure is from the United States government's own figures, which keep track of not only our voters, but the people we blocked from voting, because we block millions of voters. This is something not known in the rest of the world. So these Republican officials said 17 million people have hit the road in the last 2 years. Americans move a lot, but not that much. Why is this important? Well, obviously, if you've moved from, say, the city of Milwaukee, you can't vote in Milwaukee. You've left there. It'd be illegal to go there. So I talked to some of these voters who supposedly moved. Saquana Taylor, an African-American woman, and that's important. They said she moved out of Milwaukee, so she's not allowed to vote in Milwaukee. I flew to Milwaukee. I met with Saquana Taylor. I said, have you moved out of Milwaukee? She says, I'm the county supervisor of Milwaukee. What do you mean I've moved from Milwaukee? But she is guilty of voting while black. And in America, that's almost become a crime. I kid you not. We had on the purge list 1 in 7 African Americans are on the hit list to have their votes removed. In Georgia alone, which is an important state in this election because it has 2 senators. We could have the control of the U.S. Senate. We have the White House hinging on Georgia, which is white people are in the minority in Georgia. So how do the Republicans win if the white people are a minority? The answer is you remove the non-white people, and they removed 250,000 people for supposedly moving, including Christine Jordan. I was at the Atlanta voting station when they threw her out, said, you can't vote here. You're no longer registered. She's been voting at that same place for 50 years, 50 years since her cousin, Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated. This is her. This is King's cousin who was thrown off the voter rolls of Georgia with 250,000 other people, mostly, guess what, black people and young people who are also Democratic voters. 250,000 in a single American state. We've got millions across the nation, 150,000 in the swing state of Wisconsin. Now, understand, we have this strange electoral college system in America. The number one state that will determine our presidency is Wisconsin. Trump supposedly won that state by 22,000 votes. And as you'll see in my book, they're removing 150,000 voters for moving. And our experts, as you mentioned, the direct mail experts, the people at Amazon, eBay, American Express helped us out. They went through the lists. They said, hey, these people haven't moved.
But of course, Joe Biden is running high in the polls right now. And I got to ask you, how has Trump already won in 2020? And why is Trump against postal ballots if postal ballot rigging, arguably, is what's going to put him in the White House in November?
A couple things. One, Hillary Clinton was ahead of Trump in the polls, which mean nothing, at this time in 2016. So you've got the same margin. So Hillary was crushing Agent Orange, our commander-in-chief. Who's president? Because they didn't count on the Democrats, for the most part, the white Democrats, just don't think about the steal. And they don't do anything about the steal. They do very little. It's only civil rights, voting rights groups, black African-American organizations that actually fight for their vote. But it's not the Democratic Party. So Hillary was ahead, just like Biden's ahead. Again, who's president? Now you get to mail-in voting. This is very important. I have in How Trump Stole 2020. And again, it's past tense. He already stole it. But Americans can take action and unsteal it. But how he stole it, according to MIT, one of our our top technical university, 22% of all ballots that are mail-in ballots, never get counted. 1 in 5 ballots. And it's usually voters of color who lose those ballots.
You don't think you can rely on the Supreme Court to sort these things out?
2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court said that the state of Alabama, which is a very important state because that could determine the control of the U.S. Senate, the state of Alabama can require people mailing in their ballots to have a legal notarization of the ballot. Can you imagine how difficult and expensive that is, especially during a lockdown? It's charging people a lot of money to mail in their ballots so they don't have to stand in line and die from a virus. We've got an explosion of the virus in Alabama. You need a notary public. And so a federal judge here said, oh, my God, that's terrible. People are going to die if they have to do that. So he said, no, you don't need that notarization. Other states don't require it. But it went to the Supreme Court, and you had these ultra-right judges. And again, they're politicians. Don't think of them as judges just because they're wearing black robes. These are politicians. And the Republicans have 5 out of 9 votes. And so 5 Republicans voted to say that Alabama could require you to go through this whole process to cast your ballot.
You talk also about how it is liberals that are enablers of this crushing of democracy. You talk about the Pew Trust. You see, the liberals are saying it's not these techniques. It's Facebook. It's WikiLeaks. It's Twitter. How do you react to that? That it's actually Facebook ads and Julian Assange currently being tortured here in London, according to the UN, and not the issues that you show how Donald Trump is going to win in 2020?
I have a chapter called Russian to Judgment. And, you know, Americans like to think we didn't do it to ourselves. We didn't use tactics of stopping black people and Asian Americans and Hispanics from voting. No, we didn't do racist tricks to get Trump elected. It had to be them Russians. It wasn't the Russians or some kid in Moscow messing with the machines. We did it to ourselves through really ugly racist tactics, but they're very sophisticated. It's not the old system of guys in white robes scaring, you know, black people out of voting by, you know, by literally lynching them, which is what we used to do in the U.S. We used to literally hang black people who try to vote. Not kidding. And that's our history. And now it's changed from Jim Crow to what I call Dr. James Crow, database analyst, who used very sophisticated means, like saying that 92-year-old Mrs. Jordan had moved or Sequana Taylor had moved or someone was a felon when they weren't. We use these tricks to remove black voters, and the Russians didn't do that. The Russians didn't tell Hillary Clinton, don't campaign in Wisconsin because you're going to lose the presidency because they're stealing the vote there. I would love to say some other country did this to us. It didn't happen that way. And unless Americans wake up to the fact that we have poisoned our own elections with racial bias, we're never going to save our democracy. And that's what I'm concerned. That's why I wrote How Trump Stole 2020, because there are things Americans can do to change the system to protect their vote. Believe me, there are a lot of people who are waking up to this finally, just as they're waking up to other forms of racism in America, which we like to keep hidden. But unless we confront it, we're going to keep having unelected presidents.
Greg Palast.
That interview was by Afshin Ratansi on Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. On to Radio Havana, Cuba. The government of Guyana has refused the U.S. request to broadcast anti-government radio programming, sometimes called propaganda, at its neighbor Venezuela. The National Electoral Council of Ecuador has suspended four political governments, including the one headed by former President Rafael Correa. A United Nations human rights expert says that the Israeli regime must end its collective punishment against its Palestinians, most evident in its siege of the Gaza Strip. Radio Havana, Cuba.
In news from Guyana, the Chronicle revealed this Saturday that the government of Guyana has refused the request of the United States government to broadcast content of its Voice of America programming against Venezuela. According to the report, U.S. authorities plan to use a medium-wave antenna in Guyana to transmit information from Donald Trump's administration to Venezuela's radio space. The article published by the Chronicle revealed that the request was made by the Executive Board of Broadcasting Governors in Washington to Guyana's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which was refused to use a frequency of 560 kilohertz, to place a new medium wave signal on an existing or new assigned frequency that would have a power of 50,000 watts in order to reach Venezuelan territory. The newspaper revealed the statements, saying that it is not in our national interest to do something that contributes to destabilizing relations with Venezuela. The National Electoral Council of Ecuador issued a statement over the weekend accepting the report of the Comptroller's Office and suspending four political movements, including Fuerza Compromiso Social, an organization led by former President Rafael Correa. The legal representatives of the suspended political organizations will have a period of 10 days to present their respective appeals. The period of 10 days is granted for the movements to present proof of charge and appeal the decision, according to the CNE, the National Council of Elections of Ecuador. Former President Rafael Correa denounced the National Electoral Council. He said they gave in to pressure from the Comptroller General Pablo Celi, Interior Minister Maria Paula Romo, and the government of President Lenin Moreno to eliminate the movement Fuerza Compromiso Social Lista 5 from the register of political organizations. Rafael Correa said, once again, they are stealing democracy from us. The Electoral Council gave in to pressure. A UN human rights expert says that the Israeli regime must end its collective punishment against Palestinians, which is most strikingly seen in its persisting siege against the Gaza Strip. It is an affront to justice and the rule of law to see that such methods continue to be used in the 21st century and that Palestinians collectively continue to be punished for the actions of a few. Michael Link, who is the special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories, also warned that Israeli punitive actions are harming millions of innocent people on a daily basis. These practices entail serious violations against Palestinians, including the right to live, freedom of movement, health, adequate shelter, and adequate standard of living. According to the UN official, the rapporteur on human rights, he said that Gaza has been under an Israeli siege since the beginning of June in 2007. He said that since 2008, Israel has waged three wars against Gaza, where 2 million Palestinians live under a 12-year Israeli blockade.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week at their website, radiohc.cu, and their download links are fixed and working great. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. All the times I announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490. Almost all of the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support my effort to expand your range of media. We will conclude with NHK Japan. The relationship between the United States and China is rapidly getting worse, with Secretary of State Pompeo calling for a global coalition to counter what he calls a threat posed by the Chinese Communist Party. In the United States, the deployment of federal troops into cities disrupted by protest against police brutality and for Black Lives Matter has shocked global media. They report that it sounds like tyranny, though some say it is just part of the presidential campaign by Donald Trump. NHK Japan.
We begin with the latest sign of worsening relations between Washington and Beijing. The U.S. Secretary of State says he wants to build a global coalition to counter what he calls a threat posed by China's Communist Party.
We want to see every nation who understands freedom and democracy and values that and knows that it's important to their own people, their own sovereign country, to be successful, to understand this threat that the Chinese Communist Party is posing to them, and to work both themselves and collectively to restore what is rightfully ours.
After meeting with British leaders, Pompeo told reporters that China has exploited the coronavirus outbreak to further its own interests rather than help the world. Pompeo said the country has been bullying its neighbors and pushing its claims on maritime regions that it has no lawful claim to. Pompeo said earlier that Beijing's claims to offshore resources across most of the South China Sea are completely unlawful. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper has also criticized what he called China's aggressive behavior in the East and South China Seas.
The PLA has also increased the number and duration of its incursions into the waters surrounding the Japanese-administered Sakaku Islands. Japan's security role is growing.
Japan controls the islands in the East China Sea. China and Taiwan claim them. The Japanese government maintains the islands are inherent part of Japan's territory in terms of history and international law. It says there is no issue of sovereignty to be resolved. The U.S. Secretary of State also sat down with a Hong Kong pro-democracy leader in London. Nathan Law fled to the U.K. in the wake of China's new national security law for his home city. Pompeo told reporters ahead of the meeting that he expected to have eye-opening discussions with a 27-year-old activist and politician. Law left Hong Kong on July 3rd over safety concerns due to the national security law. It places broad restrictions on anti-government activities in the territory. Law says he still plans to continue fighting for democracy in Hong Kong. Last week, U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order to end preferential trade treatment for the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. The meeting between Pompeo and Law is believed to be part of Washington's efforts to check Beijing's increasing control over Hong Kong. U.S. President Donald Trump has suggested Black Lives Matter protests have pushed big cities out of control, and he's warning he will send in federal troops to restore the order. His opponents say the president himself has lost control. NHK World's Catherine Kobayashi reports.
Sending federal troops to put down protests may sound like the act of a tyrant, but this is the United States now.
We're not going to let New York and Chicago and Philadelphia, Detroit and Baltimore and all of these, Oakland is a mess. We're not going to let this happen in our country.
Demonstrators in Portland, Oregon, as elsewhere, have been protesting for weeks against racial injustice and police brutality. Then Homeland Security agents stormed in. They've grabbed protesters and held them without arrest, without even telling them why.
Four or five men in camo jump out and just start rushing at all of us. It was absolutely terrifying.
Good morning, everyone.
The White House press secretary says dispatching agents is justified under federal law. But the mayors of six cities wrote in an open letter that these are tactics they expect from an authoritarian regime.
It's targeting not only the city of Portland, but other democratically controlled cities. And I absolutely believe that the play here is to support his own base.
Joe Biden said he's absolutely on board with defunding.
The president trails former Vice President Joe Biden in polling ahead of the election in November. And Trump has targeted crime in cities run by Democratic mayors, members of what he calls the radical left.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
More than once, we've wondered where this president is trying to take us and whether he's trying to take away the basic rights of Americans.
The mayor says this is another example of unconstitutional actions that create pain and confusion. But maybe, he says, that's what the president wants. Catherine Kobayashi, NHK World, New York.
Those reports were from NHK Radio Japan. They've altered their schedule and format and are now heard from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at 5975, 7245, and 11970, or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast. Get a global perspective. You could listen to a podcast about the history of the shortwave report, that's this program, at a site called Humboldt Lighthouse. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website, along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. This shortwave report, which is now in its 24th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. This shortwave report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.